Turn in your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. We're going to start reading in verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. One more passage before we start our message. And hold your place there, because we're coming back to Numbers. Look in the New Testament in the Gospel of John. In chapter 3. Gospel of John in chapter 3. And in verse 14, these are the words of Jesus. And he said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life."
Amen.
And let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I pray that you'd bless your word today as it goes out. Thank you, Lord, for every soul that showed up here in this room here today. Thank you, Lord, for all that are even now tuning in on the internet and listening to us. I pray, Lord, that your message would go out in clarity, with power. Lord, you'd accomplish your purpose as you seek it. Lord, we submit ourselves to you now as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Have your way in this service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we have a New Testament reference, and we have an Old Testament story. And the reason why I read both of these passages, I want to make the first point and to let you know that this here is a historical event. It is not just a fable or a story that somebody made up in order to try to prove a point. It actually happened, and these events are true. We know that they're true because Jesus makes reference to these events, and he doesn't make reference to them as an old fable or a story or you heard the story of. He makes reference to this as a historical event. And so Jesus basically validates this story right here. He validates the historical authenticity of the story and also the importance of the story, because not only do we have an event that takes place, it's a pretty substantial event, but we also have a direct reference to what Jesus Christ is going to do for us. And so it would really be a good idea for us to take a look at this. And so I want to start out and kind of introduce the players in this particular passage right here. Of course, we've got the children of Israel. The time period is during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They had escaped from Egypt by God's hand, and once they escaped from Egypt, God led them into the wilderness. They ended up disobeying God, and it turns out that they had to stay in this desert for 40 years. An entire generation had passed away. A new generation had come up, and so they were 40 years in the wilderness and still had not received the promise of God of this land of Canaan that he said that he was going to take them to. And so they've been through a lot of things through this last 40 years. In just the previous chapters before, they had a situation in the desert where it didn't look like they were going to get any water. And God had commanded Moses to strike the rock and bring forth water. And you see, it's not anything for God to be able to provide when he wants to provide. Sometimes God withholds a little bit just to see what your character is going to do and to see whether you're going to complain and get all bent out of shape because you don't have what you think you need. But God can provide anything at any time he wants to. And so he provided them water. They had encountered this particular area called Edom. And Edom has reference way back. Remember the sons of Abraham? You had Jacob and you had Esau, who were the sons of Isaac. And Jacob and Esau, they were brothers. And the promise of having a nation went to Jacob. Esau also became a great nation, and that was the land of Edom. So they were brothers. And so the children of Israel said, "Hey, we want to be able to cross through your land. We want a shortcut to get across." And they said, "No, you can't come across our land." And so they were kind of bent out of shape that Edom didn't let them through. They ended up having to go another way. The other way caused them to have a battle with one of the Canaanite kings. Some of the Israelites were taken prisoner. They had to counterattack. They finally got the prisoners back. And so this was basically had been their story for the last 40 years of just struggle and hardship and battles and lessons, but also incredible, incredible miracles. The Bible says that the shoes on their feet did not wear out in 40 years.
Hallelujah.
The Bible tells us that since they were in the wilderness and food was scarce, that God was going to provide them this type of food called manna. And God provided it every morning where they gathered it up. It was like a coriander seed. They beat that thing into flour, and they were able to make the kind of food that would sustain them for 40 years. None of them had gotten malnutrition. None of these Israelites were hungry. They had gotten everything that they needed. In fact, the miracle was that God had provided them the whole way. At this point in time, it didn't really seem to make a difference, the miracles that God had done for them. The fact that God had been with them, the God that had walked with them. Their eyes got on the difficulties and on the struggles more than on their Lord. And that's where we find the story introduced. They journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. They had to go around because they weren't allowed to go through. And look at this statement. It said, "And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." Now, I don't know if you've ever faced discouragement. Maybe one or two of you in this room maybe have been discouraged at one time or another. But I'm going to tell you, if you've discouraged or if you've ever been discouraged, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a bad person or that you're a wicked sinner or anything like that. What it means is basically that you're human. One of the human experiences is discouragement. Discouragement is the lack of courage or the opposite of courage. And there's a lot of things that can discourage you. Pastors get discouraged. I know that you don't believe that. You know, pastors are supposed to be up and rah all the time and everything. But pastors get discouraged. Do you know if you came in? Now, today is a day of incredible encouragement because we got people in the seats. But stand up to preach when there's no people in the seats. And pastors can get discouraged. They can get discouraged when they're not seeing the things that they want to see. Sometimes people can discourage you. Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You can almost sense the disappointment as he's writing that down, you know, that, man, Demas, and not only has he forsaken me, but for something so shallow as this present world, you know, people can discourage you. They can get you down. Have you ever been just in a good mood and then met that one person? And by the time you get done talking with that one person, you're like, oh, man. Yeah, people can discourage you. So I wouldn't recommend hanging around people that discourage you too much, you know. Sometimes they're family, and so you can't get away from them. Sorry. Bible says that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. 40 years and they still had not seen the land of Canaan. Do you realize how hard it is to hold on to a promise when you haven't seen it in that long of a time? Christians can get like that. Oh, we've got tremendous hope, don't we? Man, we've read the last chapter. We know how things are going to end. We know where we are going to be when the dust settles and all of this is over. And yet, the long look, sometimes it's hard to keep your hopes up. And you get a little discouraged because of the way. And I'm telling you, sometimes veteran Christians, they can get discouraged. They can get tired. They can get worn out. I'm telling you, getting tired and worn out can be discouraging. Hey, chronic pain can be discouraging. Just to have to face it over and over. You know, there are just some things that we go through in life that do not end. I mean, you have to get up the next day and you have to face your burden once again. And it doesn't seem like there's going to be any end. No light at the end of the tunnel. I'm not trying to discourage you. You're probably getting real down about now. But I'm telling you, it's just the experience of life. Okay, being discouraged just basically proves that you're a human being. They were much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God. Okay, now we have a tremendous transition between the verse 4 and verse 5. Because you've got an experience. You've got a situation. That's one of a long struggle and disappointment and discouragement as a result of that struggle. But then you have a change because even though we can be discouraged, there are several different ways to react to that discouragement. Several different directions you can go. They chose the wrong direction, and I'm going to show you that. Because if your discouragement is not handled properly, it's going to lead to complaining. And then complaining is going to lead to provocation, where the Lord will be provoked to judge. This is what happened right here. Okay? And this is not just complaining about the weather right here. Okay? We all do that. We all complain because it's too hot, because it's too cold. We complain because it's just right. And you say, how can you complain because it's just right? Because we complain that it's not just right long enough. Isn't that the way we complain? Hey, today's a beautiful day. Yeah, well, there are not enough of them. Oh, we're good, man. We're good at finding the negativity, the downside. But listen, look at what they did, okay? Verse 5 says, and the people spake against God, against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? That's God's promise. There's no bread, there's no water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They complained against four things here. God's person, God himself, God's man, Moses, God's promise, The fact that he led us out of this wilderness to what? Die. No, that wasn't his promise. They spake against God's promise and against his provision. I want you to know that they got themselves into a real mess. They took the wrong road. They took the road that leads down the road of complaining and murmuring. And I want you to know, if we took time and looked at the history, we find God has destroyed before over murmuring. This ought to tell us something. It ought to tell us that when we're discouraged, we ought to take a step back and be very careful what our next step is.
Amen.
There are people that are, they're cut off from the joys and the fellowship of God because they took the wrong turn. These people here, they took the wrong turn. They blamed the wrong ones. Now consider this. Consider what God has been doing for them. And by the way, if you look at verses 1 through 3, you find out that they did. They had a battle with one of the kings of Canaan. And yes, some of their soldiers were taken prisoner, but they counterattacked. They asked God to help them. They got their prisoners back and they defeated the king. And there's no sense of joy. There's no sense of victory here. I'm telling you, when you get discouraged, even the victories are going to be flat. But we have a choice.
Amen.
You got the choice to complain. I've sat in many living rooms and talked with a lot of people where God is the culprit. They're mad, angry at God. Why did God do this? Whatever it is, whatever the situation. And they're angry at God and they have something against God. And And it kind of snowballs from there. Do you realize when you get a bad attitude towards God, then everything else is colored? You know, this incredible miracle of the manna, you know what their response was? My soul loatheth this light bread. 40 years ago, it was amazing. 40 years ago, when God first provided it, it was like, this is incredible. This stuff tastes good, man. This stuff. And it was provided to them every day. I'm telling you, they got themselves into a really dangerous position because they accused God of their troubles. You know, it doesn't make any sense because God's the only one that can help you.
Amen. Right.
Things aren't working out for me. Man, I am never going to crack open that book again. I'm never going to... I'm telling you, doing this and walking away from God, what's it going to do for you? It's going to make you more bitter. It's going to make you more angry. You're not going to find the answers in life that you want to. Do you think the world out there has the answers for you? Do you think that they know exactly what's going on? Take a look at some of the philosophies of this world. Do you realize they have no clue what's going on? Oh, you need to just step back and find the answer within yourself. Well, that's not a good idea because that's where the complaining came from to begin with. No, the answer doesn't lie there. It lies somewhere outside. God's your only refuge, man. God's your only help. He's your only protection. And they cut themselves out from the only one that could give them some help. And by the way, another thing disappointment and discouragement will do is it'll make you exaggerate to the extreme. We don't have any food. Oh, seriously? You don't have any food? You know what it turns us into? It turns grown adults into kids.
Right.
A little kid will open up the pantry and say, there's nothing to eat. Seriously? There's nothing to eat? Well, what about this right here? Nah. What about that right there? Nah. What about this right here? Nah. You know what? You're right. There's nothing to eat. Go to bed. Well, I want something to eat. Oh, but that's us, right? We over-exaggerate. We over-exaggerate the problems and not the solution. We over-exaggerate the struggle and not the Lord that's going to get us through the struggle. That's what disappointment and discouragement's going to do. We don't have any food. We don't have any water. Our soul loatheth that light bread. The only thing Dad gave us was this right here. I'm telling you. Some parents have driven themselves crazy over kids. Oh, well, how about this right here? Oh, well, how about this? You know what Judy and I discovered? It was an epiphany. Man, we discovered it. If you offer a kid something and he refuses, offer it to him again, because that kid is going to get hungry. And he will eat what you give him. By the way, your dog and your cat will do the same thing. Oh, my cat will not just... Yeah, they will. You don't have to feed them the little expensive can. Just give them the big 50-pound dried food. They'll eat when they're hungry. But this isn't about dogs and cats. It's not a seminar on how to treat your pets. We're talking about us. Don't exaggerate the problems. It's not true. God's just left me here and no, I'm telling you, he's always there. The Bible says he never leaves us and he never forsakes us. And he's standing right there when you're telling this to them. God's not your problem. He's not the source of your problem. God's not the one that, quote unquote, did this to you. Yeah, there are some things in life that just happen, but a lot of our problems are self-created. And you're surely not going to get through the struggle if you over-exaggerate your problems and underestimate the role that God has in this mess. What they should have done is they should have taken the path of encouragement instead. You know what encouragement is? Encouragement is when I'm building my courage. When I'm reminding myself of the good things. Now, they did not have this particular psalm back then, but look at Psalm 42 and verse 11. In fact, I would recommend, before... Any kind of drug, and if you have to take a drug, take a drug, but no, prescription drug. See, you're over exaggerating again. Brother Brian said I could get high. No. Psalm 42 is an amazing psalm when you're down and when life has just kind of got you low. And I'm not going to read the whole psalm because that's not really the point, but look at verse 11. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me?" And instead of complaining at this point about God, about the preacher, about the provision, about the promise not being kept, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Amen. There are some times when you just have to audibly express faith and hope in God. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with telling God, "Lord, I don't understand why it's like this. I don't know if I can make it another day. But Lord, I know that you're good and that you've got my best interest in mind." Amen. "And I hope in you."
Amen.
Tell him that. Remind that discouraged soul that there is hope in God.
Amen.
You've got to remind yourself, because I'm telling you, discouragement and complaining, and believe me, we are experts in complaining.
Right.
We have complainers on every side. I had a man just this week, almost got himself fired, had a counseling session with him. I said, what's going on? And what's it? He said, man, I'm so sorry. He said, it was just that I was on this job site, and this other guy who was real down on the company, he was just feeding this stuff in my ear. And he just got me kind of hyped up, and I went off, and I'm sorry, you know? That happens. Man, people are going to pump you up, man. They're going to, if you want to find somebody who's down on God, somebody is going to tell you what's wrong with this church. And believe me, now I have not experienced it very much, but the other pastors have experienced a lot of criticism and people telling them things and, you know, I don't know.
Amen. We volunteer him. He can handle it.
Yeah, just be careful what you listen to. And isn't it an amazing thing that it's never you? It's always the company. It's always the boss. It's always the church. It's always the deacons. It's always the preachers. It's always God, and it's never you. You'll never make any progress till you own up to your own attitude. You own up to your own attitude. I know things that you just don't know how hard it is. Well, maybe I don't know how hard it is for you, but I know things are hard, man. It's just one of those things. Life is not easy. But you're not going to win cutting yourself off from God and getting bitter and angry and complaining.
Right.
It's not going to happen. You can tell. Why is my soul discouraged in me? Why is my soul disquieted within me? He couldn't figure it out. But I will hope in God.
Amen.
Maybe you just need to express faith in God today.
Yeah.
Maybe you just need to take a long walk in the woods or get in a quiet room somewhere and just tell God, look, I know it's, Lord, and believe me, God will hear your complaints. He's got a complaint department. You got some things, take them to God. Don't take them to your brother or your sister. Don't infect everybody else with your venom, because God does not like murmuring. God will provide for, just like a good parent. A good parent provides for their kids, and the worst thing in the world is for the kids to spit venom back out at their face. God does not like that either. And so there is a judgment. And believe me, if you want to discount the judgment of God, you discount the judgment of God. If you want to put a bumper sticker on your car that says, only God can judge me, I'm telling you, that right there, you know, you think you're getting off the hook by putting that on your car? I don't think they do that anymore. I think they got wise to it. They did it for a few years, and I think a bunch of people thought, wait a minute, this is not a good idea. I'm scraping this off my car. Only God can judge you? Yes, God can judge you. And I want you to know that God did have a response. God responded to this murmuring. God didn't leave this murmuring alone. He didn't let his people get away with this. He said, no, I've got to stop this right now. Because I'm telling you, murmuring is like COVID-19. It spreads like wildfire. We're all into this, you know, social distancing and masks and everything. Hopefully, you know, we're kind of out at the end. But oh, in the beginning, man, I'm telling you what, we were trying to figure out. We got people and a family sit right there. And we put all kinds of protocols in place early on and through this pandemic. And even now, you know, still trying to be careful. And we do it for a reason, because this stuff spreads like wildfire. Complaining spreads even worse. What if God would have let this go? He'd have had his whole entire nation against him in a short period of time. You know what I propose? I propose we have a certain mask that we put on when we get into a murmuring and complaining mood. Have the murmuring mask, you know. Put that thing on so that you don't infect anybody else.
Amen. Amen.
Do like the Psalms did. Take your complaint to God. You're bitter and angry. Take that bitterness and anger to God. You don't have to put on a show with God. You don't have to pretend. God doesn't need your these and thous. And He needs honesty.
Amen.
You can talk to Him just in your regular voice. You don't need any kind of religious talk with Him. You just pour out your complaint to God. Give it to Him. He can handle it. We can't. But the suffering they caused, it said much people, ever been bit by a snake? Oh, I'm telling you, don't ever underestimate the judgment of God. You don't want to get on the wrong side of God. You don't want to get on His judgment. Because they suffered the muscle spasms and diarrhea and cramps and hallucinations and in the end death. This was not a good experience for these people. They were bitten by these serpents back in Numbers, where were we? Numbers 21. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Do not be surprised when God judges sin. Don't be surprised. Don't be taken aback that, oh man, God's taken action. You may think that you committed a sin and you got away with it and, hey, everything's good. But I want you to know that God takes sin seriously. And there are times when He absolutely judges sin. He judged sin to the point where they came to just a place of desperation. Because think about this. When you're complaining against God, you're not expressing faith. You're not expressing gratitude.
Right.
Complaining is the complete opposite of being thankful. And believe me, we are not thankful enough.
Amen. All right. Amen.
We are not thankful enough. We are self-serving. We are selfish. We're all budding narcissists.
Amen.
Consumed with ourself and our own comfort. When's the last time you sat through a drive-through and were irritated because the person in front of you took a long time to order? Come on. On the way to church this morning, get behind this pickup truck, and there's a stop sign in our neighborhood that nobody stops at. It's just an unwritten law. Nope, traffic is there anyway. The stop sign shouldn't be there. Roll through it and keep on going. No, this guy had to stop. Look all ways. And I'm like, I got to get to church. I don't know about you. But you need to get through this thing. And Judy's like, come on, settle down. Yeah. Complaining means that you're losing your faith. Instead of being grateful at everything that God gave you, and you know, it bears down to the point where maybe you think you deserve more.
Right.
Maybe you deserve more and you're not getting it. You're not getting what you deserve. Isn't that what the world tells you? You're not getting what you deserve. Go out and get what you need because you deserve it. The truth is, if we got what we deserved, we'd all be dead. We're sinners. The judgment of God is beginning to reveal that. And the snakes biting the people and the death and the suffering, it's beginning to take its toll. More and more people are dying. As they go through the camp, one day it's somebody that you knew. The next day it's somebody in your own tent. And then it's you suffering and dying. And it got to the place where, man, the body count was piling up. The psychological effect was taking place. People were wondering, man, am I going to be next? They couldn't even go to sleep at night because they were wandering around, wondering if there was a snake in their tent and when they were going to be next. And it got to the point where they just, in their desperation, finally went to Moses. And look what they said. Verse 7, it said, the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned. For we've spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. I want you to know that when God comes down on you, there's a reason why he comes down on you. He wants you to turn. This is what repentance is all about. Repentance is not a bad word. It's not an ugly word. It's not a negative word. It is the way back to God. It is the 180 turnaround sign. It is your fresh start. It's your hope. Oh man, they're always telling me to repent, you know. I'm telling you, repent. Thank God he gave us repentance.
Amen.
Had God not given us repentance, there'd be no way back.
Amen.
There'd be no way to say, you know what? I've made a fool of myself. I'm going to turn around right now for that one son who took off from his father and spent his substance in riotous living and came to himself. If there'd been no repentance, he'd have no way back to the Father. He'd be completely without hope. But God's judgment does one thing. It brings us to the place of repentance. And this is what he wants. Notice what they said. They owned up. They finally owned up to their sin. And it says, we have sinned. We spoke against God and we spoke against you, Moses. And they were sorry. You know, God puts that in our hearts.
Thank you, Lord.
He puts that conviction. You ever get convicted? You ever get that feeling inside that, oh man, I messed up. God put that there. He put that there so you could take action. And you know what he wants? Does he want a big demonstration? What's God asking here for? They're dying, man. They're in a terrible situation. What's God asking for? He's simply asking that they repent, that they confess their sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is an incredibly beautiful verse in 1 John chapter 1. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to confess. Hopefully not under bright lights, under duress, but he wants you to voluntarily confess what you've done. You see, without that confession, there'd be no relief from the judgment. But they made that confession. Maybe it's time that you make a little confession to the Lord. Maybe it's time you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I got myself in a bad attitude and I got myself in the bad attitude. Lord, I've spoken against you. I've spoken against your man. Lord, I've sinned. You know, that kind of honesty will get you forgiveness from God.
Yeah.
You want to go to God and argue your case and justify your case? But Lord, there was no water. What do you expect me to do? But Lord, there was a war. What do you expect me to do? Lord, what about this and that? I'm justified in my reaction. Instead of doing that, say, I have sinned.
Amen.
That's what God wants you to do. And by the way, there's no way that you can be saved without that. Without that sorrow, without that contrition, without that humbling of spirit, there's no one that walks up to God proud.
Amen.
Lord, you gotta take me. That Pharisee standing in that temple, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men or even like this publican here. I tithe all my goods. I fast twice a week. I do this and that. And he did not walk away justified. He walked away lost, separated from God because of his attitude. You can be saved today by simply confessing your sin. Now the story's not over. Because an amazing thing happened. Because they went to Moses. We've sinned. We've spoken against you. We understand that these serpents are the reason that they're the reaction of God to our sin. Pray for us. So Moses went to God, said, what do I do? And he said, you take a serpent, a representative of the destruction, of the judgment. You make it out of brass. A brass is a symbol of judgment. You put it on a pole, and anybody that comes and looks on that pole, they'll live. So he did exactly that. Can you imagine? Put yourself in the place for a minute. Put yourself in the place of a wife whose loving husband has just been bitten by a serpent, and she's watching him take almost his last breath, and she knows that in a few short minutes she's going to be without him forever. And then she brings it. He carries him, whatever. He goes to the pole. He looks on that pole, and instantly he's healed. Instantly, he has his life back. Instantly, everything has changed just by looking at the pole. Can you realize what an incredible miracle that is? Now put her in the position. This husband, he's just been healed. His wife is happy. The kids are happy. Man, they're in the house, and man, they're dancing, man. They have a party. If you've ever been saved from your sins, you kind of know what this party is all about. Amen. All of a sudden, they're free. They're not going to die. They're immune from the serpents. They're free. And then they realize, now wait a minute. Uncle and aunt living across the tent in the way, they don't know about this yet. So they go over and tell them. And aunt and uncle, they're still over there in their bitterness and they're angry. And they're like, ah, come on, man. You talking about the same God who gave us this? The same God who led us out here in Egypt to die? No, no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the fact that he gave us this thing, and you can go and you can look and you can live on this thing and you can be healed. Oh, yeah, I don't believe it. Get out of here with your petty... You realize that's what's going on today? There are people in humanity that are being healed from their sins. There are people in humanity that are being forgiven of all their trespasses. Man, they presumed to even speak against God, and that was forgiven. And man, they've got eternal life, and now they're trying to tell other people about that eternal life, about the way out. And people are just, nah, forget it, man. They're still so bitter and hard and down on God. Can you imagine the frustration? It happens to us every day when we tell people about our Savior, and they just simply discount it as nothing. But I want you to know, over there in John, see, this isn't just a story. Jesus Christ, he relates this to himself. And this is what he said. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I want you to know, it's not just some story in the Old Testament. It's not just a historical event. Jesus says that pole back there that saved them from the serpents is the same thing as me being put on the cross and you being saved from your damnation and hell as a result of your sin. Do you realize what Jesus is trying to say? He's trying to say that he's the one. He's the answer. He's the way. He put himself on the cross to die as the judgment. He was the one who was the brass serpent on the pole, taking all of the wrath of God. He did that for you so that you could live.
Amen.
And he says, look.
Amen. Amen.
He says in the Old Testament, God says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am he and there is no other.
Amen.
Do you realize right now, Jesus has given you an opportunity. He's told you the story. He's given you the illustration. He's told you what he's done. And he has been lifted up from the earth. He died on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood, was put in a grave. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And today he is alive forevermore. And he has nothing better to do right now than to save you from your sins if you call upon him.
Thank you.
It's time to let go of the bitterness.
Yeah.
Time to let go of that Christian that you burned you out, that got you down on God. It's time to let go of the circumstances that have gotten you angry at how God has treated you. You need to drop it all and you need to tell God, I have sinned.
Amen.
And look on the pole and live.
Amen.
Jesus promises to save you if you'll look on him. And to look on the serpent in the Old Testament is equated with believing on Jesus in the New Testament. He's here today for you. The truth is, will you call? He wants you to call. He says he wants you to call. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Will you today repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? It'll be the best day of your life. I guarantee it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray for anybody in this room that's lost, that's not saved. Lord, that you'd open their eyes, that they'd see the simplicity in the message, that they'd see what you're doing for them. And Lord, I pray that you give them the courage and the strength to repent of their sins and call upon you today. Please, Lord, have mercy on them. Anybody listening to us over the internet, Lord, that is lost, I pray, Lord, that you'd save them from their sins. And I pray, Lord, if any Christian, any brother or sister has gotten into this routine, Lord, of complaining and murmuring against you, Lord, forgive us, Lord, for being so wicked against your good things. And I pray that you'd heal us as well. Lord, get all the honor and glory out of this service here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to